And the Lord knows that every spare moment that I've almost had, we have spent in trying to save this country. Every Monday, we do not take a day off. We travel across this nation on our day trying to reach preachers. There were three things that I wanted to do in the next few years of my life, and one of them is to continue to write books and see the staff members of this church write books that will help preachers. I want to preach to preachers instead of holding revivals. You know I never preach camp meetings. I never hold revivals. For God seemed to impress upon me that more could be done in trying to stir up preachers who in return could go back to their congregation and our ministry could be multiplied. I want to thank the members of this church that allow me to extend my ministry to ministers throughout this country. The third thing I would like to do in the next few years is continue to have pastor schools. Bringing them here on the spot. Let them see the people. Let them get the enthusiasm that is generated and go back and write letters and stir churches for God. The Lord knows that last year, maybe you're not aware, my wife and I did not take a vacation. We were gone 4 days once, but we're allowed a 2-week vacation that we did not take for one reason. We have felt that there has not been enough time. This nation is going to hell. There may not be a chance for us to even have vacations ever in America unless someone gives their lives to Christ. In my ministry of over 20 years of preaching the gospel, I've traveled the length and the breadth of this old nation. And I believe honestly that the only thing that can save the United States of America is a spiritual awakening. I don't mean a few politicians that say they believe in God and they've been born again and sip the cocktails between speeches. I'm not talking about the spiritual awakening in which we sip the wine during the week in the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning. I'm talking about a spiritual awakening where taverns close, where magazine racks are cleaned up, where decency prevails, where church Christian members act like Christians, where people not only testify, but have a testimony within their heart, where the Playboy magazines are not read, but they're burnt. I want to say, and I've asked God to give us, the people of the Westside Assembly of God, a few more years to do what we want to do. I see a little turning in America, and that encourages me. I see a little light at the end of the tunnel. There are more great churches in America than the rest of the world put together. I see God moving all over the world. In Korea, there's a church there that runs over 30,000 people. We were bragging that we led the nation last year with a 1,300 increase average. Now we have to have two services, and at this very moment, there are 7 services going on simultaneously here and in convalescent homes and around the city. But that church in Korea grew 5,000 in average. Can you say a good amen? The Spirit of God is moving across the land today. I see a little turning point in America. Christian schools are springing up all across our land. And I might pause to say that I hope someday in the very near future when we get this building, we can have our own Christian school. That's not all. I'd like to see that Christian school develop into a high school. I'd like to see it develop into a college. I mean it. We had about 3 or 4 young men that came into our last little school we had at 9 times. Those 4 men developed in some of the greatest Christians I've known. Let me give you a couple of them. Brother Ted Newenberg is now leading the Holy Spirit ministry in our church in a great way. Brother George Galinda from Brooklyn, and today he's probably ministering to over 1,000 children in Brooklyn today. With this kind of percentage, wouldn't it be great to have a red-hot Pentecostal full gospel church that was turning out great men of the gospel? Say a good amen. I'd like to see God change America. Friends, we may not be able to change our present youth. They may be too far gone. We'll not give up. We'll keep trying. But God seems to be impressing upon me more and more. We may have to build a society within a society. We may be called upon to build our own schools so our kids won't be in flux with drugs. We may have to have our own youth church. We may have to have our own grade schools to save our nation. Say amen. Christian schools are springing up. Did you know 2 a day are started in America, Christian schools alone? Great fundamental churches are growing by leaps and bounds. But where the real growth took place this last year was in spirit-filled churches. You know what? Let me tell you about it. Now listen closely. It's happening all over the world. This year they just handed out last Thursday. Our church was awarded in Detroit, Michigan at the Christian Life Sunday School Convention. And we've got it up here somewhere. We've got so many that don't need it much anymore. This is Iowa's fastest growing church we got. And this year was the first year I'm going to tell you, so I shouldn't say this, that they never gave out a plaque. It's always been Baptists that won the nation's fastest growing church, and they used to give out one banner that was a red one, you know. And this year, they didn't give it out. They said, well, we decided we would no longer give a banner to the fastest growing. It could be because it's Pentecostal, amen. When they handed out the banners, 17 of them were Assembly of God churches out of 50 states. Say amen. Others were Pentecostal. No longer are the Baptists the fastest growing churches in the world. This is the day of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? And I love the Baptists too. You know I do. They're great soul winning people. Thank God. I praise God for the things that our church has gone back to. Bible, New Testament, soul winning churches. Yet, when I see this light, I see a little hint that God is already fed up with America. And it scares me. And let me tell you why I see and why I draw my conclusion that God may be fed up with America. A flood races down a canyon called the Big Thompson Canyon in Colorado. Over 100 people are killed. Many are missing. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that floods are God's voice. And God speaks, the Bible said, through the floods. I cannot help believe America, but God is speaking to us in the Big Thompson Canyon. With hundreds of people homeless, over 100 killed. God is trying to tell us something. The American Legion has a convention in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A strange illness attacks scores of delegates, and about 30 of them die overnight. Now that happened in this scientific, enlightened generation. And yet no one knows what it is, what caused the death, where it come from. Spooky, isn't it? That's fearful, even dreadful to think about. The Bible speaks that God speaks to men through pestilence. Pestilence is another word for diseases that are sent from God. Did you ever stop to realize why God allowed to happen in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania? This is our 200th anniversary. We celebrate this year our bicentennial celebration. Philadelphia is the cradle of our nation. That's where it all started, in Independence Hall. Our nation was born there. Our biggest bicentennial celebrations were there. That's why the American Legion was there. God is trying to tell America something in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to see more and more of these strange diseases arise that baffle doctors and scientists. I read the other day of a plague that is now sweeping Africa. They say it's the worst virus. It's one that causes men to bleed to death. The only reason it's not spread more is the people die almost immediately after they get it. I'm thinking now of diseases that used to be completely controllable, social diseases brought on by our immoral living. And the scientists finally said, man is his own fate. Eat, drink, and be merry. Give way to your old flesh. Do your own thing. It won't catch up with you. We now have a disease. We can put some penicillin in and kill it like we get a cold. And now there are no antibodies for certain notorious social diseases that have built up antibodies, and there are no drugs that will kill it, plus new ones. Medical science says for every disease they cure, many new ones now spring up that there is no cure. You're going to see more doctors frustrated and failure. You're going to see them take their microscopes, and these men that we've trusted and put our confidence in cannot comprehend the workings of God. God is trying to tell America something. An earthquake comes to China. An entire city is wiped out in the last few months. Another came after that, another and another, until it reached 6.4 on the Richter scale. We will never know the complete devastation of these floods because China is not a free society. But I believe that God is speaking to China and saying, you're going to pay for murdering the Christians like you did when you swept across China. I believe God's trying to say to China, there is a power greater than the hammer, than the sickle. There is a power more powerful than your communistic socialism. So God, in recent months, is trying to tell us something. He's trying to tell us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. I repeat, be not deceived. Don't you kid yourself. No nation, no man can get by flaunting God's word, by flaunting God's people. God is trying to tell us something. Have you ever noticed that tornadoes have become increasingly serious in the north part of this country in the last few years? Many remember when tornadoes were confined to Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Until a few years ago when I came to this part of the world, amen. I remember when I was evangelist one time, a pastor announced me that the Kansas tornado was coming to town, amen. I was kind of encouraged about that until I found that a tornado was hot wind that was followed by a little cold wind, you know, and you can draw your own conclusion on that. But suddenly things are beginning to take place. Tornadoes taking place in the great north of our country. God is saying and has said that the winds are his voice. The Bible tells us that God speaks in the winds. He speaks through tornado. He speaks through hurricanes. Isn't it strange about the hurricanes? That they have come to New York City. Who ever heard of a hurricane in New York City? Hurricanes are for Miami, or for the Gulf Coast, or the Gulf of Mexico, or the Bahamas, or the Caribbean. Hurricanes do not supposed to normally come to New York City. It's the heart, it is the nerve center of the world, and also the heart of corruption and sin. Is God trying to tell us something? And now we face the possibility of swine flu. Of course, I was not aware, not born in World War I. But I've heard my granddad talk about the terrible swine flu that hit the world during World War I. How people died by the hundreds and the thousands, wiped out overnight. Ladies and gentlemen, you think that was rough. You stop and think how easy it would be for us to transfer disease and germs in our generation. It used to take 7 days to go to Alaska. Now it only takes 5.5 hours by plane. It used to take disease by Europe to months, even years, for it to get to us. And now every day at our international airports, they unload thousands of Europeans and Orientals upon our land. It wouldn't take one day for an epidemic of bubonic plague, or yellow fever, or cholera, swine flu, or what have you called it? In only a few hours, it could sweep the entire world. God is trying to tell America something. But listen on. Suddenly there is a drought that has hit Europe. Some of you never read the newspapers, and I'm afraid too little you watch the news to know that the worst drought in the history of Europe's existence has just fell upon them this past year. I don't know if you know that or not, but in the Bible teaches that when God in the Old Testament days chose to deal with his people, he shut up the heavens and kept the rain to come down. When God chose to deal with a nation, he always sent drought to keep back the rains. And I cannot believe that God is trying to tell the world something. He's trying to make them listen, because when rain is dried up, famine always gripped the land. But that's not all. The volcanoes of the world have suddenly begun to erupt, And recently in Guadalupe, over 110,000 people were driven from their homes and many, many, many killed. Horrible suffering took place in that place. All over the nation, volcanoes that have just laid there dormant suddenly are erupting. And in the Philippines, just a few weeks ago, an earthquake took place. 3,100 people were killed, to add to that in China. 600 are still missing. Over 100,000 people left homeless. Even nature itself seems to be getting ready. The winds, the formation of the earth. Is God trying to tell us something in this election year of our bicentennial? And let us not forget the fruitless war that we fought in Vietnam. We should have won that war. We had all the might. We had the soldiers. We had the tanks. We had the guns. We had the planes. We were the strongest industrial nation in the world. No one can explain how a few peasants whipped us in that war. Is God trying to tell this nation of ours that tanks and ships and atomic bombs and planes will not rule our nation? There's a power that is more mighty than all of our scientific might. Maybe God is getting us to understand. Now listen to me. There will be a final battle fought in the Middle East, along that little fertile valley there along the Euphrates River, called the Battle of Armageddon. All the armies of the north and all of their armaments will come down upon Israel, Russia, the big bear, China, all the eastern countries, and they'll come down to destroy Israel. There's no way that she can escape a lion ganging up on a lamb. But the Bible says that that little country will destroy and slay all the armies of the world. And because God's going to fight that battle. Is God trying to tell us that He is still the power that controls the world today? 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry tonight. I knew men who have not had one full meal in their entire lifetime to eat. The majority of the world will gather up seeds at one time or another and scrape the bark off of trees. I've seen the trees in India slick. They'll board to make a little porridge, give them a little soup before they go to bed. They tell us in America by 1980s, that's only 3.5 years from now, people will starve to death on the streets, just like they're starving in India and Egypt. Is God trying to tell us something now? Any knowledgeable financier will tell you there is no way to escape it. We're heading straight towards a depression. I know President Ford tells us that we have more jobs than ever, but this is election year, and these are synthetics jobs that will disappear, we all know, after the election. When I travel the length and the breadth of this earth, I talk to politicians, I talk to preachers, I talk to businessmen, financiers, bankers, and educators. I talk to them with one purpose in mind, to try to get the heartbeat of my country. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to be honest. I'm scared half to death. So I'm asking God, God, give us just a few more years. Let me go up and down the length and breadth of this nation. Let us have some more pastor school. God, let us build a college here. Give us a few more years. I am convinced that neither Ford nor Carter is the hope of America. I'm convinced that the Supreme Court is not the hope. Congress is not the hope. The Senate is not the hope. The hope of this dear nation lies in God's people. He said, if my people, call by my name, Oh, listen to me just a minute. What we need is God's people to call upon God, ask Him to stay His wrath. Pray, God, hold back your judgment. Hold back your hurricanes. Hold back the tornadoes. Hold back the fires, the earthquake, the famines and the wrath. God, hold it back a little longer until we can repent, until we can please You. But in the natural, I'm scared to death. You know why? Because I'm afraid that the earthquake that came to the Philippines is just the first fruit. Are you listening to me? Of the harvest that is to follow. I'm afraid the tornadoes that we've seen in recent years in the Northlands is just the first fruit. I'm afraid that one of these tornadoes God's are going to allow to come down Broadway in New York City instead of out of the farm fields of Illinois. I believe God may allow one of them to come down State Street in Chicago, Vine Street in Hollywood, Peach Street in Atlanta, Georgia, Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. You mark it down. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. The only reason America's reaping the blessings of God today is because of our forefathers. God is not honoring the present generation. God's honoring the regenerations that see the soul, that read the Word of God, that had town meetings in prayer, that believe that righteousness exalts the nation. Ours is a nation that is so corruption and immorality. And who's to say when the reaping day comes? There'll come a day when every knee shall bow. The Bible said He'll laugh at our calamity. That's God. He will scoff when fear comes upon us as desolation. Now you look in the days of Amos. God said 5 times, "Yet ye have not turned unto me, saith the Lord." 5 times He listed things that He'd done. He said, "I sent famine. I sent cleanliness of teeth. But you've not turned to the Lord." God said, "I sent drought. Yet ye have not turned to me, saith the Lord." And I believe that God is sick of the United States. I'm afraid God's about ready to say, "The winds of fury upon this nation. Bring the flood tides of wrath. Pour out the judgment upon this nation. Cast aside nations that He has given the most to all America." I can hardly say without weeping, "God shed His grace upon us. America, born in revival. America, built upon the preaching of the Word. America, cradled in God's Word. America." She's now outlawed God to be mentioned. School. By the way, I'm against, rather, I believe in separation of church and state. But I do not believe in separation between God and country. We were here before you liberals ever got to this country. You robbers, you thieves. You stole every university. You never started one yourself. You stole the Yales. You stole the Harvards. You stole the Princetons. They were started by religious groups. Now we're going to stand for God. Say a good amen. A lot of you don't understand this, but you like for me to preach on rejoice, rejoice evermore. That's wonderful. I like it. But what we need is a generation of preachers that'll get up and cry out against sin and fight the devil. Come on, say a good amen. You say, "I don't like that." Well, you can lump it with sugar and cream and whatever you want. You say, "You're rubbing my fur the wrong way." Then turn the cat the other way. Amen. God sent disease. He sent earthquakes in Amos' day. He sent volcanoes. And He said, "And yet ye have not returned, saith the Lord." By the way, these acts that God is sending to America are not unkind. Acts of mercy. It would be better for God to send a flood if it took to wake up the nation. It'd be better for a tornado to come and wipe out a little section and wake up our nation. It'd be better for a man to lose something that meant so dear to him. And just as God brings judgment to nation, he brings judgment to people, sinners. He allows Satan to administer the judgment. The father does not love that child if he lets him do something that'll hurt him. It is a father that loves that disciplines that child and chastises him to keep him from going straight into destruction. It is the love of God that says, oh, I'll do everything. I would rather use my love. I gave them my son. I did everything I could. But if I have to, I'll deal with a hand of rod. I'll deal with judgment. By the way, that illness you had, was God trying to tell you something? That car wreck, was God trying to tell you something? That job you lost, that sudden death that occurred in your family, your loved ones, was God trying to tell you something? Ladies and gentlemen, God is not a sick old man who has emphysema. He still can blow his breath upon his earth. Russians have a picture there in Russia. They've got God as an old man up in the sky with a sickle and a long beard and wrinkled face. They got beneath it, we drove out the czars, and now we'll drive you out, God. But even the insurance companies are not that much of an idiot. They've got more sense than the czars of Russia, or the leaders of Russia. They'll insure everything except what they call what? Act of God. They won't insure that. Why? What's an act of God? It's a hurricane, a tornado, a whirlwind, a drought, a flood, a famine, a volcanic disturbance. Something else God's trying to tell us in closing. You stick with me now. He's trying to tell us that Jesus Christ is coming soon. You just read the newspaper. And then you read the Bible, and you'll see the same terms are being used. They speak of earthquakes, and the Bible speaks of earthquakes. They're even talking in the newspaper about the volcanoes, and they use the term fire and brimstone. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not outdated. He's on schedule. And you better realize that you better get ready. God's trying to tell us something, even through the newscasters today. Still enough hospitals to place your carcass. There's still enough graves to take your old body. There's still enough caskets in Babyland. And God's not out of range. Kansas City, I was only a small boy when the flood rolled in, one of the worst floods in the history of America. Jack Cole had a great evangelistic meeting out there beside my dad on the big lot. Listen to me now. Night after night, there came messages and interpretation. I'm going to destroy this city. Repent. People laughed at him. They stood out and scoffed at him. They came in the tent half nude and made mocked and made fun of the people who gave the messages. The floodwaters rolled in. My dad and I had to be pushed way back up on the bridge. The waters grew higher and higher until it covered the entire church building that was over 26 feet high. People stood on that bridge and said, it's that tent in that church that brought destruction, they screamed. They ran up to my dad, trying to whip him. The flood brought destruction upon us. It was that church and the judgment they brought. I'd like to ask that professor that thinks he's so smart and said there's no God. Professor, what happened in Philadelphia? Tell me. Tell me what caused the swine flu, Professor. Professor, if you know so much, stop a volcano. Stop the earthquake that's coming on the West Coast. You might as well jump in front of a locomotive going 70 miles an hour and say, I'm going to stop it. And stop God. Look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Everyone was destroyed in Sodom except one family. Look what happened in the days of Noah. Everyone destroyed but eight persons. And you say God is a God of love. He is.
He gave his son to die. He loves you so much. But first, he's a God of judges, justice. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. God would not be God to let sin go unpunished. If God would let sin go unpunished, God would sin. God would die. The stars would fall from the heavens. So what we need is a generation of preachers that will stand up and tell people that the wages of sin is death. The way of a transgressor is hard. Be sure your sins will find you out. Just go to Egypt now and you'll see the ruins only of the greatest civilization that ever lived. Listen, because they forgot God. You go to Greece and you'll see the great temples, the ruins of them, of a nation that forgot God. You go to Rome, the greatest civilization ever existed, and you'll only see some Romes of some Colosseums. The whole world seems to be a graveyard of humans and nations. Thought they could get along without God. Ladies and gentlemen, no nation can get along without God. And no people and get along without him. I sincerely believe that God is about sin. And he's trying to tell us something. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. In just a minute, we're going to have an altar call, and I'm going to take communion. It's 20 minutes till. We've still got plenty of time. I don't want any talking or looking around in this building. Oh, I know there are a lot of people that don't like to hear this kind of message. You look at God as a little sissy, feminine type of God that sits up there in heaven and that you spit upon him. He loves you. He gave Jesus to die. He would be willing to take all that abuse. But God's not mocked. No one fears a God that they can walk over and trample and despise and spit in his face. He loves you. If you won't listen to his love, he's going to do everything that he can. Oh, he's trying so hard that he will even administer judgment. And you'll be like David, who looked back over his years and saw God deal with him in judgment. And he looked back and said, thank you, God, for broken bones. It's not much fun when the bone breaking is going on. But God may have to break some bones like the old shepherd does. The little lamb keeps running away. He knows he's going to get out there and get killed. The wolves are going to eat him up. And so he takes the little lamb and breaks his leg over his knee. And then he mends that leg. And as the little lamb begins to heal, he gets to know the shepherd and he gets to love him. And then he won't run away anymore because he loves him. Well, I feel that's one of those services that God may have to do some breaking. He may have to break a bone because he loves you. Now we know what David meant when he said, thank you, Lord, for broken bones, because it saved him. Oh, God's tried to deal with you with healthy children, with good wife, with a wonderful church. You love this church, you'd fight for the preacher, I'm sure. But yet you won't give your heart to Jesus. God's trying to tell you something this morning. I said, God's trying to tell you something. Oh, there's a Spirit of God moving here in a tremendous way. Last week it was victory. Today it is conviction. Victorious conviction. Lives are going to be changed here. Just before I close, I'm going to pray. Just before I pray, I'd like to see the hands of everyone in this building. He'll say, preacher, I believe God's trying to talk to me today. I believe in God. My morals are high. I'm a church member. But I've just been guilty of neglecting to give my life to Christ. I put it off. I need to make a dedication. Maybe you just once saved, but you need to be reborn. A new dedication to God. God's trying to tell you something. Christians, bow your head. The Holy Spirit's moving in this audience in a tremendous way. I'll close in the matter of a few seconds, but before I do, I'm going to pray. Before I pray, I'm going to count to three. And when I come to three, I want every man, lady, boy, or girl to raise your hand. He'll say, thank you, preacher, for caring enough to preach this way. And I want to be honest with you. I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. I've got doubt in my heart about Jesus. The devil's been after me. I don't want to give a soul. Will you pray for me? I'm going to count to three, and I want you to put your hand up. If you're ashamed of God, you won't. If you want to die and go to hell, you'll keep it down. But if you're sincere and you want my prayer, I want you to pray for me when I come to three. One, get ready to put your hand down. Two, every head bowed. I believe hands are going to be raised all over this building when I say three. From the left to the right, to the front, to the rear, husband, wife, boy, girl. If you're ashamed of God, you won't raise your hand. But if you're not ashamed of God and you need this, I want you to put your hand up all over this building and say, preacher, pray for me. I believe there are many. Get ready. Only God will see it. From the left to the right, to the front, to the rear of this building, husband, wife, boy, girl. All I'm asking is for you to say, pray for me. Let me see your hand right now. Put them up. Put them up. They're going up. Oh, they're going up all over this building. Keep raising them. They're still going up. Thank God. What an altar call. Keep praying. There are others of you. Raise your hand. Preacher, pray for me. I believe God's trying to speak to me. Keep raising your hands. Oh, he loves you so much. He's just dealing with you. He's speaking to you. He's using the elements to speak to you. I'm asking one more time. There are others that have not yet raised their hand. Please put your hand up. Say, preacher, pray for me. Let me see your hand now. Now, keep raising them. And now I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you that raised your hands. Thank God you weren't ashamed. But I'm going to see if you really mean business. I'm going to ask you to take an important step while every head is bowed and no one is looking. If you meant business when you raised your hand, if you want my prayer, I'm going to ask you in just a minute, every one of you that raised your hand, not now, but in a minute, to stand. When I ask you to, as I pray for you from this mic while every head is bowed, if you don't mean business, you'll sit there. If you're ashamed of God, you'll remain in your seat. But if God's trying to tell you something you want to heed, I want every one of you that raised your hand, and I believe it's going to be 100% of you that raised your hand, I want everyone that raised your hand to stand to your feet while every head is bowed as I pray right now. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. They're getting up. I believe it's going to be 100%. Come on, stand, husband and wife. Boy, they're getting up all over the building. Keep standing. Quickly stand. Everyone that raised your hand, say, preacher, pray for me. Keep standing. Keep standing. Keep standing. Couple, please stand right now in Jesus' name. You'll make it 100%. No one's looking. You're not saying you'll join the church. Will you stand and say, preacher, I need Jesus. Pray for me. Others that raised their hands and haven't stood, don't you care enough to stand and say, preacher, pray for me? This is my last call. Stand. Let me pray for you. Please, let me pray for you. Please, they're still getting up. Thank God for those three that just stood. Thank God for that lady and that man that just stood. They're still getting up. Thank God. Christians, pray. Let me hear you pray. In the days of Spurgeon, they said you could hardly hear him give the altar call. For the moans and the groans and the travails of the Christians that weeped in the audience for the dying. Can I hear you pray? All of their getting up. Thank God for two more. Keep praying. They're still standing. God bless for that lady that stood. They're still getting up. Keep praying. Christians, pray. There are others that need to stand. You that are standing, remain standing. God bless you, sir, that just stood. Keep standing all over the building. Quickly, all over the audience. This is my last call. Preacher, pray for me. Please, will you let me pray for you? Am I asking too much of you? Remain standing now. Close your eyes as I pray. Lord, you see this tremendous audience standing to their feet. Lord, it's wonderful. I'm glad these people were not ashamed of you. But it's not enough to stand. It's not enough to weep. It's not even enough to believe. But I pray, God, that not one of these people shall walk out of this building until they give their life to Jesus Christ. Satan, you'd like to cause them to reject, but I bind your power and I command you to loose your hold. In Jesus' name, I take authority over you in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing just a minute, please. Every head is bowed. No one is looking, and I'm going to do one more thing. I'm going to see if you that are standing really mean business, for I'm going to ask you to take the most important step of your life. I'm going to ask you while every head is bowed and no one's looking in just a minute. And I believe it's going to be 100%. I want every one of you that are standing while heads are bowed, when I ask you to step out quietly and walk down this aisle and meet me and shake my hand and say, preacher, will you pray? And we're going to kneel right here and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you're going to leave, not a church member. You'll not be approached. This church won't save you. But you're going to give your life to Jesus. And things are going to become new. I don't want anyone to sit back. I believe it's going to be 100%. Come on. Thank God. I don't want one of you to sit down. Thank God. I don't believe anybody is. They're coming. They're coming. It looks like 100%. Come on, couple. Come on, husband and wife. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Oh, they're coming. They're coming all over this building. Keep on coming to the altar. Thank God, isn't this beautiful? Just come and kneel. Oh, they're coming. Keep coming all over this building. Come and kneel. God bless you. God bless you, couple. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come over here, sir. Just kneel right there, both of you. Oh, God's moving. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. I don't want anyone to leave. We still got 10 minutes here left before even 12 o'clock. Glory in this and altar call. People, this is revival. There are others that need Jesus. They're good young couples. There's a wonderful husband, a good man, but he needs Jesus. Come on, sir. There's a husband, if he'd come, his wife would come, a sweetheart would come, the sweetheart beside him would come, a friend would come, the friend would come. It's not only your soul that's involved, but your decision will influence that one for God or against him. God's trying to tell you, wake up. I don't want anyone to leave, but I want everybody quietly to stand to your feet. They're still coming, thank God. As we sing Just As I Am, I'm going to ask you to look beside you and invite that young couple to come to the altar if you don't know them. You see, I might make them mad. No, you won't. They'll appreciate someone encouraging them to come. They should appreciate it if they have any gratitude whatsoever. Come on, sir, that raised your hand. Come on, young couple. Come on, boy or girl. I believe people are going to move out all of this building as we sing, Just As I Am. This will be the last call. They're still coming. Come, young couple. Come, sir. Come, big young fella. God wants you to be saved today. Say yes to him. I beg of you. Come to Jesus. Young couple, I love you. Come to Jesus. Christian, bring your friend. Oh, they're coming, thank God. They're still coming.
To thee, oh Lamb.
You better run, we can sing no more.
I come.
Oh, the Lord's moving. I said we could only sing one more verse and time really forbids me, but I must. Oh, there's someone that God's begging. There are three people that God's left such a definite impression that need the Lord here today. People raise their hand. There are others I know need to come, but there's three God's burdened me for. Only you know who we are, and I know, and God knows. Please come, dear man. Please come. You'll say, I don't understand the church. I don't explain everything that happens. Don't accept me or the church, but Jesus. How can you go wrong accepting Jesus, fella? If you want to turn back tomorrow, you can, but give him a chance. And you won't turn back. Sing one more time, Doug.
Just as I am.
This is it. We're closing. This will be the last plea. This is the last plea. Will you come?
But that
we need some more personal workers who know how to pray. We shouldn't have to ask you. You should have already been here.
For me.
Close your eyes as we sing it.